Good morning. And well, it's a great joy and privilege to stand here and proclaim and preach God's word and worship Him in this manner as well. God has been very gracious to me, and thank you so much for praying for me. I request you all to please stand for the reading of God's word and turn to the book of Philemon. This book is found in the New Testament, after the book of Titus and just before the book of Hebrews. And I'll be reading from verses 14 to 16. So kindly follow me in your Bibles as I read from Philemon chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. Verse 14, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bond servant, but more than a bond servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Bow down with me as we pray for this time. Father, we bow down to you, for you are the Lord of heaven and the earth, the only true and living God. Thank you, Lord, that we can read and study and listen to your word. Thank you for the blessing us with the privilege of worshiping you. My heart is filled with gratitude for your word that gives life, transforms life. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to proclaim your word. And Father, you know how not capable I am, how inadequate I feel to preach your word. I so humbly plead with you to give me boldness to speak. Also, I pray that let no one harden their hearts, but allow your word to cut and penetrate deep down and bring convictions. Also allow your word to bring peace. Help those who come to the church be blessed and enjoy the time around your word and grow in you. And with much gratitude, I worship you, Father. Bless this precious time of your worship. Amen. Please be seated. If you will follow in the instep, the title I have given for these three verses is, you can make an impact through forgiveness. The book of Philemon is one of the shortest letters of Apostle Paul. It has only one chapter with 25 verses. The name Philemon occurs only once in the Bible, namely in the opening line of the book that bears his name. Philemon means affectionate, he who shows kindness. The letter to Philemon reminds us that God's revelation to humanity is immensely personal. It might be easy to get an impression that God does not care or have time for the trials and tribulations in a single household. Philemon stands as one piece of strong evidence to the contrary, revealing that lofty doctrines such as the love of God, forgiveness in Christ, or the inherent dignity of humanity have real pertinent impact in everyday life. The book of Philemon illustrates that principles like these can and should profoundly affect the life of believers. As you study this book, and I've been saying that as you, it's just simple 25 verses and seems nothing great doctrines out there, but as you study this book, you will understand the depth and the richness and the wowness of the greatest of than the greatness of Christ's love. Yes, it's been a long time now that we looked at the book of Philemon, and that's what, almost 3 months back, and so we had completed up to verse 13, and today we'll be looking at verses 14 to 16. And let me give you a quick recap of what we studied so far. Just a little bit of review in case you have forgotten or are new with us this morning. Verses 1 to 3 is an introduction. Paul is in prison along with Timothy. And Paul writes this letter from the prison, from the Roman prison. That's where he was. Paul was in prison for preaching Christ. Paul writes this letter to Philemon, a brother in Christ, and also calls him a fellow worker. Philemon had a church meeting in his house. He also owned slaves. And one of the slaves mentioned is Onesimus. Paul also mentions Apphia. The Holy Spirit doesn't say anything more than that about her. But we can assume that she is a faithful sister serving in the house church. Paul also mentions Archippus as a fellow soldier. We don't know what kind of ministry he was doing, but it is important. It was important and to know that he served alongside with Philemon as a faithful soldier. Letter Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, and no need to go there, you can just... Colossians 4:17, and where Paul writes, tell Archippus, the same Archippus who's mentioned in Philemon, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Paul's word to Archippus to complete the ministry, or take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And this was a gentle rebuke for having neglected his ministry. He was backsliding from being a soldier to being pulled up and exhorted by Paul to get back on track, be focused, sincere, and committed to his God-given ministry. And then from verses 4 to 7, if you look at it, Paul is thankful to God for Philemon's life and thanks God for his love and faith, that the sharing of his faith may become effective, produce fruit. Paul says that Philemon's life gives him much joy and comfort, even when Paul is in prison. He looks at Philemon's life and thanks God. What an impact a believer can have if you are in the Lord and encourage someone. In verses 8 to 10, Paul says, though I am bold enough and old enough in Christ, because by then everybody knows he's an apostle, man of God. He says, though I'm bold enough and old enough in Christ to command you, Philemon, yet for love's sake, Paul appeals to Philemon to accept Onesimus, who is now no more the old slave. But Paul says, he is my child. And we have studied in past that each time Paul will lead someone to Christ, he will call him his child. He has changed. He is no more useless. That's what he called him. And then from verses 11 to 13, Paul is testifying what he has noticed in the confines of prison, where he is interacting with a fellow prisoner who is now a Christian. Becoming a Christian has transformed Onesimus. Paul testifies that Onesimus, when he was impacted with Jesus, has now changed and become useful and profitable. Paul sending Onesimus back to Philemon, to send back to Paul, to send back by Paul, and to be sent back to his master, whom he had wronged. Onesimus now is in his right senses and understands that he has sinned against his master. He knows he is not worthy to be forgiven, and he knows that there will be consequences to his sin. He would have to humble and seek forgiveness and seek to be reconciled to his master. Perhaps he would need to do restitution. Had Onesimus not truly repented in jail, then he would have not gone back to his master. We saw Paul being wise and using every possible way to convince and persuade Philemon to take back his slave Onesimus. Paul is an excellent example of good and effective reconciler of people. The theme of the book of Philemon is Christian reconciliation. The teaching of reconciliation is very precious to the Christian believers. It is a beautiful story about forgiveness and reconciliation. This message of reconciliation or salvation that has come from God through Christ Jesus has been passed on to us. The whole message of reconciliation is centered around the love of God and the death of Christ. Philemon is a very privileged man in that he receives a letter from Apostle Paul. It is a plea, it's an appeal to Philemon to forgive, to be reconciled to the runaway slave Onesimus. Paul heard about Philemon from Onesimus, who wrote this letter from the prison and gave it to Onesimus, who faithfully handed it over to his master. If Onesimus had not truly repented in prison under Paul's guidance, then he could have easily thrown away the letter and gone back to his old life, like many of us. He could have given in to fear and doubt whether his master would really forgive him or send him back to prison. This book therefore also helps us, through understanding Onesimus, know that we can also trust God to take care of us and the consequences of our sin when we repent. And then look at verse 14 and what is he saying there? But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Verse 14 starts with a but, which is connecting to the previous verse in verse 13. And Paul had written that he would have been glad to keep Onesimus with him in the prison, so that Onesimus might serve Paul on behalf of Philemon. Paul is urging Philemon to think deeply and freely and make his own decision with all his heart. Let's understand all the facts Paul presents to Philemon to help him to have a change of mind and heart about Onesimus. Verse 10, Paul calls Onesimus his child, which indicates that Onesimus is saved. Verse 11, Paul further mentions that Onesimus is now useful to both Paul and Philemon. Paul uses the word useless to describe what Onesimus was previously. Useless includes the idea of being harmful. Onesimus had previously harmed Philemon and therefore had been thrown into jail. Paul is convincing Philemon that Onesimus has changed. This helps Philemon to think and understand that Onesimus has changed and become spiritually useful. As Philemon understands all these facts, God is at work in his heart to take away all the hurt, anger, and bitterness against Onesimus. Philemon, who's reading this letter, and as he is reading, he's being sanctified and thinking in his emotion, in his heart and will, to take Onesimus back cannot be done without forgiving him. Paul leads Philemon to this goal. Paul taught Philemon to think and understand clearly what God has done in Onesimus. Only after that does Paul urge Philemon to make a decision to take Onesimus back with his own mind and will, and not by compulsion from Paul. Paul had said that he could have commanded Philemon to obey him and take Onesimus back. And you can see that in verse 8. He says, I'm bold enough. Verse 9 and 10, Paul is consistent and Paul has appealed to Philemon to do it. Paul does not want Philemon to be pressurized or get influenced or be under any compulsion because of who Paul is and what he wants Philemon to do. Paul desires that Philemon realizes that he has a God-given capacity to forgive Onesimus and take him back. Through the sanctifying work of the facts about Onesimus' salvation and transformation, Philemon can wholeheartedly forgive Onesimus by his own will and restore him to useful service with him. If you continue to follow in verse 14, and see the latter half, what he's saying there. For Philemon to take Onesimus back, he needed the goodness, which is through salvation and sanctification that comes by being in Christ. We know from the Bible that we do not have any goodness of our own. And we can quote verse after verses there. By mentioning Philemon's goodness in verse 14, Paul is helping Philemon to check his own heart. When Philemon looked within himself, he knew that there was nothing good in him. All the goodness was from Christ alone. As Philemon thinks through what Paul had written in the letter, he remembers and knows that Christ forgave him all his sins, so he also can and will forgive Onesimus all that he has sinned against him. That's what he's appealing to, that part of his heart that he's appealing to. Forgiveness may seem like weakness or letting an undeserving person win. But it has no connection to weakness or even to emotions. Instead, forgiveness is an act of the will. Forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. No one deserves to be forgiven. Forgiveness is a deliberate act of love, mercy, and grace. Forgiveness is a decision to not hold something against another person, despite the wrong what he or she has done to you. Forgiveness must come from the heart. It is not cheap. It cost Jesus to give his life on the cross. His precious blood was shed for all those who would believe in him to receive forgiveness. You and I also find it difficult to forgive. Our spouses, our parents, our children, fellow church members, and we harbor hurt and bitterness. We must look at our own hearts and see how much have we sinned against Jesus. And that how much you only answer between you and God. We must look into our heart how much we have sinned against God. And yet Jesus forgave us. Recognizing this, our will, our minds will be transformed. So that we are able to forgive from our heart. And as he goes on to verse 15 and he says, for this perhaps is why he has parted from you for a while. That you might have him back forever. Paul brings in a new angle in verse 15 there. Philemon's slave had harmed and sinned against him and ran away. Paul writes the words, he was parted from you. There was a broken relationship between a master and a slave. The slave Onesimus had sinned against Philemon, leading to a conflict between them. Paul also wrote the words for a while, which means this can be changed. And Onesimus and Philemon can be reconciled with each other again. Verse 15 helps us to see Paul is helping Philemon to understand that all this happened in God's sovereign plan. He uses the word this perhaps is why he parted. Paul also used the word like parted instead of saying to Onesimus that he ran away. Perhaps Paul is helping Philemon to leave all the bitter feelings and bad memories of Onesimus and focus on what God has done in saving Onesimus. In all this, Paul sees that it was God's divine plan for Onesimus to be saved. Paul makes Philemon to see this too. What an amazing God we have, who can bring out good from any circumstances to save a sinner. And this is what happened to Joseph. And this is what Joseph had to say to his brothers who sold him in Egypt. Remember in Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. And Joseph told his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. God used this evil to produce good." There was a church meeting in the house of Philemon. And among others, even the slave Onesimus may have been around. Onesimus may have heard God's word being taught and hymns being sung. He could have been a part of the whole worship service for months but yet was not saved. But see how God's plan worked. Onesimus harmed Philemon and ran away from his master and landed in prison, met Paul who helped him to meet Christ and be saved. This is our God. He can save people from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amazing God, amazing grace. Each of us may have experienced conflict that lead to broken relationships. These conflicts and broken relationships are God-given opportunities to exercise forgiveness. And this can happen only if you and I, like Philemon, belong to Christ and has experienced this forgiveness. And so we can also forgive with all our heart. Paul is telling Philemon, look at the bigger picture that God has planned and purposed. Onesimus had wronged him and parted for a while temporarily. Onesimus is now a brother, so Philemon can have him back forever. Look at that in verse 15. Doesn't he say that? And forever means eternally. Paul is explaining to Philemon that his slave Onesimus, who now believes in Christ, can be with him in this life and the life to come. Onesimus's time of absence, however long or temporary, but was short compared with the everlasting life they will enjoy in eternity. And when anything happens in our own life, we get focused on the issue and the problem. And very rarely do we think, is God planning in all this? Is God leading me to something? That's not the focus. We strategize, we plan, and which may be good, but we should also help a mind to tune and understand that if you belong to God, nothing is by chance in your life. Everything in God's plan and God's purpose for His glory and for His honor. That's why He has saved you and me. And then let's look at verse 16. And he's saying, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In continuation of his appeal to Philemon to forgive and receive Onesimus, who was his slave, Paul now helps him to understand that though Onesimus belongs to Christ, Onesimus is also his brother. Philemon must receive Onesimus as a beloved brother. Brother also means family. Which would require Philemon to respect, be loving and kind, and treat him as a spiritual equal member in the church family. Onesimus, who was useless or harmful to him, is now useful. In that culture, when slaves who ran away and were caught, terrible punishments were sanctioned by Roman laws for such offenses. Even inflicting to death. And slaves or doulos speaks of submission to one's master. The slave or doulos had no life of his own, no will of his own, no purpose of his own, no plan of his own. All was subject to his master. The bondservant's every thought, breath, and effort were subject to the will of his master. In sum, the picture of a bondservant is one who is absolutely surrendered and totally devoted to his master. And what an example of Paul's relation to the Lord, and what an example for Philemon and all believers to of every age to emulate this. In that culture, a slave master to treat a slave with love and as a brother would be shocking and unthinkable, unimaginable. No way. No way. By accepting Onesimus with wholehearted forgiveness, Philemon would show the world the goodness that Christ brings in changing the way we relate with fellow forgiven believers. It won't matter what background you came from. Or your financial status. We know that once we all were sinners, and only because of Christ's redeeming work on the cross, and those who believe in that were saved and are saved. That's the only merit we have, if at all. By grace you have been saved through faith. The bond slave Onesimus believed in Christ and was saved now. And that's all, and nothing else matters. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28, what that has to say. Galatians 3, 27 and 28. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And also in Colossians 3:11 he says, here there is no, not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. Onesimus could no longer be looked as only a mere slave, as before. It was not necessary that his freedom should be given to him. That's not what what Paul is saying or talking against slavery or something like that. He's not doing all that. But he's saying that it wasn't necessary that his freedom should be given to him, that might or might not be done. But having been called in the Lord, he has become, though a bond servant, but free man, a beloved brother in the Lord. That's his identity now. But now that Onesimus had become a believer, he was lifted in the eyes of Apostle Paul to a higher level. And his master Philemon would admit to his great claims to consideration, because in return, the slave who was a Christian was a better servant slave than any other would ever be. His work was labor for a brother. And so would be zealously cared for, and in return, his position in point of affection and trust would be higher than his fellow slaves. Paul had already in thought anticipated the result of Philemon's act of forgiveness. He knows how an act of Christian love bestowed as he is sure this will be, makes the recipient an object of still greater affection. And so though Paul has rated his own love for Onesimus most highly, he describes Philemon's as greater still, both in the flesh, and that is in those temporal relationship, which now, instead of being strained as in former times, will become a labor of love. The slave Onesimus, a believer slave now, will strive ever to show his sense of forgiveness. And it says, in the Lord, for the spiritual bond of brotherhood in Christ was now added to the ties which existed between Master Philemon and slave Onesimus. In our own relationships, has Christ changed us to relate as brothers and sisters who are sinners, who have experienced forgiveness from Christ and live out forgiven relationships? Or do we harbor hurts in our heart and not forgive? If you belong to Christ and are impacted by Him, then you ought to forgive. Think about it. You need to make that decision. God's gracious forgiveness of our sin is to be the measure of our gracious forgiveness to others. As we conclude, you and I are like Onesimus. You and I are slaves, doulos. We do not belong to ourselves. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. God created us. God redeemed us with his blood of his son Jesus. He purchased us with his blood. We are now slaves to Christ. We too ran away from Christ. We like to call our own shots. We don't like to live under subjection and obedience to Jesus. We like to be masters of our own lives. My life has changed. Onesimus' life was changed. As Onesimus heard the gospel, he became born of God. God gave him regeneration. He became the child of God. He was set free from the bondage of sin. When Onesimus was without Christ, he was useless and harmful, unprofitable to God. He was harmful, unprofitable in his conduct. His life couldn't bring glory to God. Formerly like Onesimus, so many among us are coming to church Sunday after Sunday, hearing God's word, and yet not getting impacted with Christ's love. Onesimus believed in Christ and was saved. Those of you who yet do not belong to Jesus, come to him, and Jesus Christ will set you free from the bondage of sin. What if Paul had to write about you, or when we die and at the judgment seat, you and I were evaluated? If you have forgiven others or no, what do you think will be the answer? God knows everything. You know everything. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And I pray that you will continue to allow your precious words to bring conviction. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us and embracing us and blessing us with this precious gift of salvation and giving us the privilege of calling you Abba, Father. Like Onesimus, please continue to save people to your kingdom. Make everyone useful, profitable for your church. Reconcile all those who are far away from you to you. Also, if anyone needs forgiveness and reconciliation among people in DCC, then let that happen in your love. Don't allow anyone to harden their hearts. Restore and guide our hearts and minds to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, Though we all come from different backgrounds and situations, yet you have saved us. You have given us, you have been gracious to us, lifted us from our deadness, lostness, uselessness, and saved us, giving us your goodness that we too can forgive others or even our own family members as you have forgiven us. Father, your name which is above every name be glorified, magnified, and lifted high above. Thank you for this time. In your worthy name we ask, O Master. Amen.